Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you from Greenville, South Carolina, September 1st, 2005. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Let's have a quick look at the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg is 70 degrees, downtown 69, Anderson 65, Clemson 68. Today, partly cloudy this morning, then clearing. Highs in the lower 90s and northeast winds around 5 miles per hour.
Well, what a tragedy we have down in New Orleans and this whole area around the Gulf Coast from this hurricane. Boy, you can if you hadn't seen in your lifetime before the damage that some of these things can cause, these hurricanes, you can certainly see it now. And I'll tell you what, it reminds me of the tsunami a little bit, what's happening there. It's a tragedy. And we need to, of course, be in prayer for those, especially those who are believers suffering in that time, but every other person as well. We need to be in prayer for the lost to see the Lord in all this and be saved, and we need to pray for believers that they would be encouraged despite all of the calamity and tragedy, that God is still in control and works all things together for the good to those who love him and are either called according to his purpose. Of course, in the meantime, the rest of the nation has a bit of suffering itself on account of oil. And I guess we can also see why property in California is just worth so much more. Despite earthquakes, you know, earthquakes come and go in California. Every 10 years, there's a pretty big one. It's a sliding fault, so this whole idea about it dropping off into the sea is pretty ridiculous. It's not going to do that. But when we see a few buildings fall down, a few people die, it's a tragedy. It's awful. It's terrifying. But I'll tell you what, when the numbers from a hurricane can go into the thousands of people dead, boy, you can see why real estate costs less along the Gulf Coast than it does in California. It makes a little bit of economic sense. As far as the gas price issue, I'll tell you, yesterday I wanted to make sure I had at least a little bit of gasoline to be able to go around and do my work. So I went and got in line. There's literally gas lines around South Carolina. We had gas rise from the morning $2.50 a gallon to $3.10 8 hours later. And that was exhausting completely the supply of regular unleaded, and only premium or the other kind of unleaded, whatever that mid-grade was left. Quite a scene. From what I understand, it's even worse elsewhere. Those of us who get supplied directly from the Gulf area, my wife was asking, why in the world is this thing, could this happen? Don't we have, you know, inventories? Well, I don't know to answer her question exactly, but I would assume that the most efficient type of system for delivery is not to warehouse oil, but to use an on-time delivery system, which means essentially that the highways are a constant pipeline, that gasoline is flowing up from wherever it is stored at docks in a central warehouse. As soon as it can be put into there by the refineries, it moves out and is consumed. Efficiency does not allow for a whole lot of storage of particular things like gasoline. And if you go to the BMW plant here, for instance, and watch the way they make cars, they don't store parts around. They just like pile up parts that they order, and then just, you know, get them out of a warehouse when they need them. The trucks come from the local suppliers as they are needed effectively, and within an hour of pulling up into the BMW plant, they are being used and put into cars, new cars. That's what we call an on-time delivery. So fuel probably follows something soon. It's very efficient. It's more cost-effective. And what happens is when the supply area is just hit with a shock like this and cut off, the supply is going to go away because there is no mound or place where you can just derive it from. Now, under normal economic circumstances, this is not going to be a long-term problem. what's going to happen in an economic sense is the supplies that are available elsewhere or that can be offloaded elsewhere from imports that we get can simply be taken to other ports, and truck routes need to be rerouted and so forth. What's going to give people the incentive to do that? Well, the price of gasoline is going to be high, and therefore entering the market is going to be very, very lucrative. Remember, it was just 3 years ago now, 4 years ago maybe, here in South Carolina, that gasoline was 89 cents per gallon. It was at an all-time low. As Walter Williams says in his column, even at $2.50 a gallon, the price has not risen very much. Normally, natural resources go down over time with price because of technological improvements and new discoveries and so forth. So the price of gasoline adjusted for inflation in 1950 was $2.33. And when it was 89, it would have been going down. It would have been a bargain. And then getting back to 250 means it basically is the same price as it was in 1950 adjusted for inflation. Well, now, of course, it's gone up way above that over here because we have this resource shock. And what's going to happen when you have this sort of resource shock is people are going to see the incentive to get the higher price, and they're going to, on account of that, going to send their supplies from wherever they are in the rest of the country. If you've got a choice of selling your gasoline in New York for, you know, $2 a gallon, and you get $3.10 or $4 down in the South, you're going to do that. You're going to take as much as your excess, at least, as you possibly can that you're not committed to under contract, and you're going to send it elsewhere. And people are going to start shipping to those ports where they can offload that fuel and take it here. So that, in an economic sense, if there's no government intervention, you will end up having a lower price of gasoline in the short run, probably in the next in the next few weeks, to say the least. Of course, in the meantime, people are going to be profiting handsomely who have gasoline, as it would be with any other scarce commodity during a time of a crisis. Well, what's the only way you could have a long-term problem like a rise in the gasoline price, since natural resources don't rise on their own over time, they actually go down? Well, the only way you can is with government intervention. Government intervention will allow this to occur on a long-term basis. Now, I had received an email this morning from Ed, and Ed says, this is for your morning show, John. One station in Clinton, I suppose that's Clinton, South Carolina, not too far from here, went to $4.87 a gallon. I called my friends in California, by the way. My mother lives there still, and some other friends, and asked them what the price of gas was. Of course, they have their own supply. There's so much oil in California, they weren't affected by this. And they said, no, it's about $2.75. Normally, California is about 50 cents or a dollar more than us here in South Carolina because of their additives and because of their extra taxes. Well, now we're over what they cost per gallon. Well, here's an article posted on WorldNet Daily that Ed sent in. It's called In Katrina's Wake. Ouch. $6 gas near Atlanta. Georgia governor outlaws gouging as stations jack up cost and lines form. Okay? So I'll tell you, this should give you a hint right now what's happening here, what the problem is going to be. When the governor starts outlawing gouging, that means the governor is intervening into the market process. The price does not rise simply because there are greedy capitalists out there who are trying to make a buck off of a calamity. It's simply not going to happen when there are competitive forces, especially things like gas stations. Prices rise because the supply is fixed, and the quantity demanded is either increasing, or the quantity supplied is decreasing. Or excuse me, the supply is increasing or decreasing. I've got my decreasing back here mixed up here backwards. At any rate, as supply drops, if you can imagine the supply and demand curve, any of you had economics, as it shifts to the left, so to speak. Or as you know, had an increase in the quantity demanded, a shift along the demand curve, you end up having an increase in the price. There is no way to avoid that. that is what the market does to be able to ration scarce resources when they're not available anymore. What happens because of that is people will be able to empty the market at $6 a gallon for gas. A lot of people will be willing to supply it because they'll be able to make more profits, and we will have gasoline rolling in from wherever, California and Alaska if necessary, to drive it down here to fulfill the for people to be able to buy the gasoline they want. Here's what the article says. As impacts of Hurricane Katrina affect both production and transportation of fuel, gas stations in the Atlanta area today dramatically jacked up their prices, with one charging $5.87 a gallon. WSB-TV in Atlanta confirmed to WorldNet Daily that a retailer in a rural area outside the city had priced its gasoline at $5.87, and the TV station indicated another unconfirmed report of $5.99. The sudden increases prompted Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue late today to enact an executive order preventing retailers from selling gas at unreasonable or egregious price. There is no such thing as an unreasonable or egregious price, folks. I remember having this discussion after a hurricane last year in Florida about a person supposedly gouging others for selling water. The reason that people sell at a higher price is because the supply is low and demand is outstripping it. That's why. And in the short term, you're going to have these kinds of price effects and price increases. Why? Because the market has an automatic mechanism for rationing scarce goods. It's not because people are greedy capitalists and trying to charge unreasonable or egregious prices. It's just not true. This is how the market system works, and it will settle down as soon as other people can enter the market, rush in, and try to gain on those short-term profits by selling their goods, like gasoline, at a better price in the South. So the governor's intervention here is ridiculous, and there's no such thing as an unreasonable or an egregious price, as it's put here. Now, we're coming up against a break here. We're going to continue this discussion after the break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And this morning we're talking about economic ignorance. As the supply curve shifts leftward and upward to the up towards the left because of this shock in New Orleans, we're going to have automatically an increase in the price. This is not price gouging, folks. Stop blaming people, if you are, for gouging people with a price. This is on WorldNet Daily, and other people are claiming this to be the case. It's simply not true. And you say, well, Dr. Coben, you're just supporting those capitalist pigs out there or whatever that want to just take over and get more money out of us. No, it doesn't work that way. You need to understand how a capitalist free market economy works. It runs very efficiently normally, and that's why you have that's why shocks can be so devastating at times, because there's not a buildup probably, at least not in the Greenville area, for instance, or Atlanta, for instance, of a large amount of oil and gas just there ready in warehouse form, effectively, in a tank that can be drawn upon during crises to help people get over it, because it's not worth the cost to insure against a crisis like this by putting up a big tank there. It's just not worth it to have such a such a bottleneck, essentially, or something that a holding tank that it's very expensive to maintain, especially with environmentalist regulations around. So what happens is, as soon as the price as soon as the supply goes down, people may be expecting to have gasoline on demand, as they always have. They may take it for granted. But when it's not available anymore, what would you do if you're the retailer? You're the gas station. Well, you've got to raise the price. It's the only way that you can ration the scarce good, because it's more valuable in the market. And you should do that, because it gives people the signal that they need to start economizing more on gasoline. Maybe if they can work from home a day or two a week, they need to do that in the meantime so they don't spend a lot of money on gasoline. That's how the market rations things, folks. It's not abnormal. It's not price gouging. There is no way in a competitive market where there's a gasoline station on virtually every corner, on every major street, that a gasoline station can arbitrarily raise its price, because there are competitors. And if a competitor is going to sell its gas for a dollar a gallon cheaper, it's going to get all the business. No one's going to arbitrarily be able to jack up their price to $6 without there being sufficient market demand for the price of gasoline for gasoline at that particular price. Just economics. It's just simple economics. This idea of there being an egregious price or a gouging price is just wrong. I'm going to continue to read this article out of the WorldNet Daily. According to the Atlanta Business Chronicle, the law does not prevent price increases that accurately reflect an increase in the cost of the goods or services to the retailer, an increase in the cost of transporting the goods or services into the area, or an increase due to the market forces of supply and demand. The producer, well, good. And it shouldn't prevent it. Why would the law want to prevent such a thing? That's what makes our economic system work. That's how it handles the shock. And as I said, as the price is high and you're sitting on some gasoline, or you have some excess capacity in Los Angeles or Seattle or, the Great Lakes area, you're going to ship it down here. You're going to ship it here because, like plywood or anything else that's a valuable commodity after a disaster, it's going to earn you more. The price is dearer here, and therefore you're going to send it here because you're going to gain more. Well, it's good that the Atlanta Business Chronicle pointed out there's no law so far. Purdue's office indicate that the gouging was going on in all parts of the state, not just in the Atlanta area. We will not tolerate the exploitation of Georgia consumers as we recover from the effects of Hurricane Katrina, Purdue said in a statement. Violators of this price gouging statute will be punished to the fullest extent possible. This guy is some kind of an idiot socialist. I'm sorry, I don't know what this guy's problem is, but except that he actually believes that somehow gas stations in a competitive market are going to somehow rip off consumers. It's not true, folks. This guy is a loser. Don't buy into this nonsense. It's not a good part of the Christian worldview to be ignorant about simple economic theory. Most Atlanta gas stations that raised their prices placed them between $3.50 and $4 per gallon. There were $70s-era gas lines at several stations. Mike Brown, owner of Georgetown Chevron in Chamblee, Georgia, said his station had run out of gasoline. Okay. People are just lined up, he told Bloomberg. All of a sudden, people are panicking. Katrina knocked out about 95% of oil production in the Gulf of Mexico, a key supply point for the U.S. About a quarter of all domestic oil comes from the region. Alpharetta-based Colonial Pipeline, the largest pipeline distributing fuel into Georgia, expects to be operational again by Labor Day weekend, the governor says. So there you go. This is what happens. A shock hits, and as I said, other people will have a great incentive to enter the market, and by Labor Day, 4 days from now, this is going to blow over as the gas prices begin to start dropping again. There's plenty of gas on the way, Purdue said at a news conference. Of course there is. It's just that it's a short-term shock in supply. It has nothing to do with price gouging or egregious price setting. It's just irritating when you see this kind of nonsense being spewed forth on places like WorldNet Daily. And by the way, as Walter Williams points out in his column in the Times Examiner this week, which is worth getting, by the way, for the $25 a year in-state, $27 a year out-of-state that it costs you, I'll tell you what, the Times Examiner, or his article points out that we still have only tapped 1% or even 0.5% of our resources in Alaska. If we get these environmental wacky policies done with and allow drilling there, and it would greatly increase the supply of oil in the United States, it would make a whole lot more sense. At any rate, that's another way to stop the problem. I'm going to continue to read this article before we go to our break just quickly here. Referring to the executive order, Purdue said, I'm frankly embarrassed for our state and some of our businesses that we have to do this. I'm embarrassed because Georgians have to put up with a communist governor like this. Meanwhile, several gas stations in the Milwaukee area ran out of fuel for several hours at a time, having to post out-of-gas signs at their pumps. The outages were blamed on more logistical problems on the supply end than an increase in demand, ForbesCom reported. WorldNet Daily reported many of the nation's truck drivers are encountering unprecedented fuel rationing at truck stops as they brace for a spike in gas prices. It's scary, Wayne Kitchen, a Greer, South Carolina-based driver, told WorldNet Daily, noting many independent truckers already are on the brink of financial ruin due in large part to record fuel prices. This is really going to put the icing on the cake for a lot of them. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to come back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems.
PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back this morning to Christian World Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're talking about oil prices and gas prices as they've been rising and gouging, so to speak, and egregious prices. The communist governor of Georgia and his faulty understanding of economics has been proclaiming, evidently. Let me just ask a question. Let's put this in other terms. If, say, it weren't gasoline, what would you also say someone is price gouging if he's a dealer in gold coins? And today, you know, he's selling his gold coins for $450 per coin, the 1 ounce coins, roughly 1 ounce coins. And let's suppose tomorrow we have a calamity that, you know, something happens to gold and the price rises, or, you know, the government fails, the state causes some kind of grief, and the price rises in the market to $600 per coin or $900 per coin. Is he gouging when he stops selling at the old price and starts selling at the new price? Or is he just responding to what the market will bear? Yeah, it's going to be a windfall for him, most likely. Just like the person who's owning any commodity that rises will have a windfall and it will go up. So what? Are we against somebody making a profit? Are you jealous or envious because you didn't own all the gold before the problem occurred? Would I have liked to have owned 10,000 or 100,000 gallons of gasoline before this happened and be able to profit? Sure. Wouldn't you? Of course you would. Because it's always great to be in the market with any commodity, whether it's real estate, you know, land or houses, apartment buildings, or gold or plywood or anything, when the price is cheap, and be able to sell it when it's more expensive. It's just preposterous, this whole business about the prices being a problem. Now, I don't like paying that much for gasoline. I'm with you. I'm a consumer of gasoline, but I understand what's happening here, and apparently a lot of people do not. Well, here's an article by William Anderson. William Anderson, How to Create a Shortage. And this was sent up by the Tyranny Response Network staff. How to Create a Shortage. People are not happy about the latest round of gas price increases, and not surprisingly, they're demanding answers and solutions from the wrong people, the political classes. At the cutting edge is Hawaii, where gas prices will soon be controlled by law, not markets. Hawaiians are about to find out in the near future that the solutions they are supported are going to have the opposite effect of what it was actually intended. People in the Aloha State may pay more for gasoline than anyone else in the United States, and anyone with even the most basic understanding of economics understands why this is so. Hawaii is a group of islands located thousands of miles from the continental U.S., and Hawaiians who purchase gasoline must be willing to also pay for the high transportation costs of bringing fuel to that state. At more than 57 cents a gallon, Hawaiians also pay the highest gasoline taxes in the United States, a penny more than their California counterparts and 13 cents more than the national average, according to the American Petroleum Institute. Hawaiians believe this to be the most unfair set of circumstances and have turned to their legislature for what they believe to be relief. Well, this is, of course, not going to work. It's nonsense. And the reason it's not going to work is governments cannot control prices and effectively provide for the reallocation or the allocation of resources in society. This is why communism failed. This is why central planning does not work. And you will create shortages and political manipulations and all sorts of problems by giving the state this kind of authority to set prices, to fix prices. It's a short-term fix that many people apparently believe will work, but it's because they're ignorant of economics. And the last people that you want to turn to is a bunch of lawyers who know nothing about economics who got elected to political office. What a tragedy. Another article we have here, Sunk Costs and Tar Pits. An economic theory there is called a sunk cost, and this is by Gary North, one of our favorite theonomist friends. In economic theory, there's a concept called sunk cost. Economic theory informs a self-interested asset owner that the price, that the past is gone. All that matters is the present in relation to the future. Economic responsibility is always present responsibility, for we must act in the present. Economic responsibility for the past is already been allocated in the market. There have been winners and losers, a fact made objective by today's array of prices and the value of assets that is revealed in by this array of prices. This means today every owner of assets must compare the value of whatever he owns, that includes gasoline, with his expectations regarding the value of whatever his wealth will be worth tomorrow. Then he must decide what to do with his wealth today. He must allocate it, buy it, sell it, or hold it. As the song says, you've got to know when to hold them, you got to know when to fold them, and you got to know when to walk away, know when to run. Because of ego, the concept of sunk cost is not applied by responsibility denying owners. The market has imputed a price to every marketable asset. Economic theory tells owners to face reality or face more losses. Cut your losses, says the investor's slogan. In other words, admit your loss. Don't make your decision today in terms of your erroneous expectations yesterday. Yesterday is gone forever. Amateur investors, therefore, usually ignore the doctrine of sunk costs. It makes them less efficient investors. Ego rules them, not objective reality. And Colin Powell told President Bush before the invasion of Iraq, you'll own it. This is his way of warning the president. Meanwhile, President Bush is still telling the voters that they, through him, own Iraq. The invasion of 2003 and election of 2004 are sunk costs. It's an interesting point of view, but we just wanted to point out specifically the economic side of this. We've been speaking the whole first half hour of Christian Worldview about economic theory because it's just evidently so much in the mind of Christians to think incorrectly about this economic phenomenon, this shock to supply relating to the gas prices, and to immediately blame the capitalists, the free market, for the rise when they should be applauding it for its resilience and its ability to do that. And they are instead turning to communist solutions, totalitarian central planning type solutions, or at least central planning ones, that will not work, that will just cause shortages. Only thing that can make this gas price stay high is government intervention. Remember, I told you that here. Otherwise, this price will be back down to where it was or lower within the next 2 weeks. That's just the way economics works. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion.
an evangelical Christian, and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Had the whole first half of the hour of the show talking about economics today, especially the economics of shortages and gas prices and so forth. Hope you'll have a chance to give a call to the show this morning. Remember, the number is 864-244-8177. The backup line is 864-201-6955. But before we continue with some other themes, we want to check the weather.
Right now in Greenville-Spartanburg, it's 70 degrees, downtown 70, Anderson 67, Clemson 68. Today, partly cloudy this morning, then clearing at highs in the lower 90s.
Okay, so a pretty boring day on tap. Yesterday it got hot again. I'll tell you, I was hoping the hot weather would be done, and it was not done. Yesterday it was very hot here in Greenville. My car thermometer, which is ever right because it's a black car, said it was 104, but it probably meant it was somewhere in the high 90s or mid-90s at least. I assume my car thermometer is wrong. It's right sometimes, but it's wrong other times. That makes sense. Who knows? It was hot yesterday. Well, I had an email this morning from Faye. I appreciate Faye writing into the show. Every week we get an encouraging comment to Christian Worldview or the Tyranny Response Network. It helps keep us going because, indeed, as a volunteer organization, it's a little bit tough to always be continuing our work and without any feedback from people. But we get so many good encouraging comments, at least one every week, that's really top of the line. And we hope that you'll continue to send those kind of comments to us. And Faye says the following: "Hello, I would like to say that I really have enjoyed your show. It's opened my mind." I'm trying to read the English here. Excuse me, that was typed. "I've opened my mind about the government system that we have, and I greatly thank you for the information. I would like to know what you think about women as pastor, or does it matter who is? The Bible does not talk about it if it has, I had not seen it." I'm using the words "have" and "has" interchangeably here, with the way it's hard to read. Excuse me. "I look at the order that God had from the beginning at the fall of man and have it changed throughout the country. Are we just going with the flow? I hope that this question is not beneath your thanks." Thanks from Tavall. Signs Tavall, even though I think it was from Faye. But at any rate, appreciate the encouraging comment there, Tavall or Faye. And I will answer your question quickly. Now, I'm not a pastor, but I do know something, a little bit of something about the scriptures on this regard, I think. And if not, I'd be happy to have others correct me on it. But I'm pretty sure this is the proper interpretation, understanding of your question, whether women should be pastors. 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 10 and following says, "But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach," that's the Apostle Paul, "or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." Now, why does Paul not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence? He says two reasons. None of them are cultural reasons, by the way. They had nothing to do with the Bible being written in a certain cultural period. He says the first reason is, verse 13, "For Adam was formed first, and then Eve." So there's an order in creation that God established: Adam first, then Eve. And therefore, women should not rule over men, as even as pastors. And secondly, verse 14, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Now, I take that to mean that women tend to be more prone to being deceived. Now, I don't know if that's true. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it. But I think the second reason that God says that women should not be pastors is they're more prone to being deceived than men are. So they're not. It has nothing to do with culture, Tavall, and nothing to do with just the standards of America. What the Scripture teaches us is that the creation order, Adam first, then Eve, and the fact that the women were deceived and men weren't, is the reason, or Eve was deceived, is the reason why God does not permit women to be in authority or as pastors in His church. There's also a passage in 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it's verse 34, that says that Paul says he does not permit women to talk in church, but to be in silence. I'll see if I can find that. Yes, here it says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. So once again, women are to have a submissive role, not that they can't participate in church, but I think when he says speaking here, he's talking about preaching, because there were obviously women who were prophets, prophetesses, and prophesied in church, the women who sing in church and so forth. So there's not an absolute sense that they can't even have any utterance come out of their mouth, no matter what. It's talking about women being in charge in the churches. So in answer to your question, appreciate the question. As far as I understand the Christian worldview, based on the Bible, women should not be speaking as pastors or leading as pastors in the church whatsoever, and that's just what the Bible has to say. All right, well, we want to talk about some more things relating to economics here, but we're going to take our quick break here. In fact, we're going to have the Bill of Rights this time, so I'd like you to listen to the Bill of Rights and remind yourself of the great themes of our founding fathers and your rights as an American, as a Christian, that we can stand up for and avail ourselves of in this age. Well, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Yes, we always enjoy listening to the Bill of Rights because, hey, it's a great privilege that God has given to us and a blessing that we actually can live in a country with a heritage like America that we actually has something like the Bill of Rights. I've been in many other countries, 35 to be exact, and most of them do not have our great heritage. They have a heritage of slavery and of corruption. We have a heritage of corruption also since Lincoln, at least, and probably even before him, but especially since Lincoln, under George Bush is no different, by the way. But, you know, at least we can look back and we can say, hey, we had this heritage, and we still can have it if we continue to fight for it and stop kowtowing to Republican nonsense and getting involved with the Republican Party that ends up stabbing you in the back, and so forth, and so on and so forth. Anyway, here's an article. Montgomery Planning Board is unaware of its duties. This is by Mr. John Ward, writing in the Washington Times, August 31st, 2005. Montgomery County Planning Board members and staff, talking about Maryland, say they did not know it was their job to monitor building heights in Clarksburg, but those claims are contradicted by their own reports and by county legislation by their own chairman helped pass 11 years ago. Planning Board Chairman Derek Burledge said in an interview this week that enforcing of building standards such as building heights is a shared responsibility between his agency and the Department of Permitting Services. And then he says later on, county records clearly show that the Planning Board was solely responsible for enforcing building standards at Clarksburg when it was widely violated. It appears from a report released yesterday by a citizens group that this pattern may have been repeated countrywide. It could be that they just looked the other way in order to pay off some indirectly some of their friends there that wanted to build in violation of the statute. More than likely, this is what happens. You see, with bureaucracy, you have one or two things happen, especially in a planning bureaucracy, it's commonplace. Well, it could be more than that, but specifically, you have people who are ignorant trying to manage things. They can't possibly know all that they need to know to correctively plan a society or the height of buildings or regulate these things. There's not enough people. They don't have not enough personnel, in other words. They don't have enough hours in the day to go out and do the regulating that's necessary. That could have been a failure just because they don't have all the information they need or the personnel. The second thing that could happen is there could be venality. That's corruption. Somebody could be taking bribes, or somebody could be paying off his friend by looking the other way and picking a smokescreen out of the supposed alleged controversy between two different bureaus. Or there could just be no incentive for them to make any changes. They just have what we call in economics a perverse incentive to leave things the way that they are. All of these things are possibilities for why this thing has failed up there in Maryland. That's why all central planning fails. It would be, if it's central planning about reallocating resources having to do with gasoline, for instance, it will also fail. There will never be a time where government can do what markets do, and they not do it well. We have only the Soviet Union and China to look at when you look at their communist regimes and how they tried to handle things and the failure that they encountered. So, anyway, take a good lesson, Christians, this morning and others listening about economics. You cannot better the market with government intrusion. The market does not fail in such a way that the state can come in and better or improve on what the market does. The market is what the market is. The world is not perfect. We do not live in a paradise, despite all the rhetoric of communists to the contrary, that we can somehow make this a socialist or human paradise on earth simply by the will of man. It just can't be done in a fallen world. The market is the best that you can get, and it works very well. And I must say, I want to remind you all about the tyrannyresponse.com website. Tyrannyresponse.com is a place you can go to find out about the events in the upstate. Remember, this week, the only events we have on our calendar, and by the way, Rip and Richie's hopefully going to be updating the calendar shortly so that September will appear. Still, the August calendar up under the events tab at tyrannyresponse.net. At any rate, this Saturday we have, The Carolina Patriots meeting at 12:30 for lunch and 1 to 3 o'clock for their meeting. I'll be speaking there mostly on my trip to South America, as well as maybe a couple other things. If you want to learn about some interesting aspects about tax law or about the American Constitution or about the great heritage that our country has and for freedom, go ahead and attend that meeting. It's at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant across from the Greenville Mall on Woodruff Road in Greenville, again 12:30 on Saturday. Also, this Saturday at Bible Baptist Church in Pickens is the last edition of the Institute on the Constitution. If you can make it there, go ahead and go to the website and get the information. I believe it starts at 8:30 in the morning, so get the information early off of the website, get the instructions or the directions how to get there. Also want to remind you on the tyrannyresponse.com or .net website, there's some contact information. If you're able to volunteer your time, make a contribution, please email one of the people on the contact tab there or call Chuck at 864-458-1981. That's 864-458-1981 and ask Chuck how you can be involved. We'll sure be able to put you to work for a few hours a month or a week, whatever you can donate in terms of your time of volunteering for the production of the program here or with technical services. Finally, want to remind you, under the Related Media tab, there is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. You can go to the Related Media tab, scroll to the bottom, and click on that particular item. When you do so, you'll be able to sign in 30 seconds, do your part to help save private property in South Carolina and elsewhere. Well worth doing. We haven't had a lot of visitors to there lately. We want to encourage people who listen to the show to go ahead and go there, sign the petition, and help protect your private property here in South Carolina. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to have a quick break now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And Mr. Bill Bonner says, that's it. Well, that's it. It's now official. The bubble in real estate is almost at its end. How do we know? Alan Greenspan says so. Greenspan says housing boom is nearly over, explains a headline in the New York Times. Experts warn debt may threaten economy, adds the Washington Post. My officialdom is becoming rather gloomy, he says. Whenever the government tells you to do something, says our friend Pierre, it's generally a good idea to do the opposite. Now the government and the experts are telling us to be careful. Does that mean it's time to be reckless? Having brought the cauldron to a bubbly boil, officials come out like missionaries at a cannibal picnic. They toss in an ice cube or two, hoping to drop the temperature a bit before they are thrown into the pot. History has not dealt kindly with the aftermath of protracted periods of low-risk premiums, Greenspan said last week. Such increase in market value is too often viewed by market participants as structural and permanent. A little later on says, we put the word wealth in quotation marks because we wish to remind readers that house gains add nothing, not a penny, to the nation's real wealth. Still on balance sheets of American households, $4 trillion was added during the last 3 years. Can't complain. I wish I owned California real estate, I'll tell you that, or real estate a lot of other places. Although Greenville real estate hasn't done horribly, it's just not done anything like other places. Anyway, Mr. Greenspan is probably a little embarrassed and worried. The party has gotten disgracefully out of control, and the invitations all bear the Fed chairman's name on them. Interesting story. Well, there's a couple other stories you want to get to, too. Before that, I want to remind you of a couple things. One is about the Times Examiner magazine or newspaper. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. You can start reading my articles this weekend. They're just finished the Theology of Enslavement articles. Now you can read the ones on nations and nationalism, the Theology of Nations and Nationalism. Hope you'll pick that up. Stephen Yates also has a good piece, as well as Ben Graydon this week. Joe Sobrin and Walter Williams. All those are columnists in the Times Examiner, and we hope that you'll have an opportunity to read it. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, try the Times Examiner. It features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, it's inexpensive and well worth doing, both for the survival of the paper, which we want to promote, as well making it effective for you to get to some business. You can call David specifically at 859-6817. That's 859-6817 in the 864 area code. Ask specifically for him about placing your ad. Okay, here we are back to different article stories that have been sent up by our illustrious staff. Here's Walmart shooter likely to have saved life. Albuquerque, a man attacking his ex-wife with a knife inside a southeast Albuquerque Walmart was shot and killed by a 72-year-old man Thursday evening. It all happened around 5:30 p.m. at a store at San Mateo near Zuni. There was mayhem and confusion inside a southeast Albuquerque Walmart as employees and shoppers were sent fleeing by the sound of gunfire. Whoa, can you imagine gunfire in the middle of Walmart? Oh, well. Anyway, and the victim in this case is 46-year-old Joyce Cordova. She is in critical but stable condition at this time at the UNM Hospital. Albuquerque police said Cordova had a long history of domestic violence with ex-husband Felix Vigil. A co-worker says Cordova was working in the deli and was attacked by her ex-husband. Vigil was shot to death by a 17-year-old Dew Moore. Police won't say how many shots were fired, but some witnesses tell News 13 they heard at least 3 shots. Police say Moore had a concealed carry license and is a well-known volunteer with the ADP's cold case unit. Man. Okay. There's an example of how people carrying guns can actually protect innocent human life. Interesting stuff out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yes, they still carry guns in Albuquerque. Better be careful if you're going to carry knives into Walmart and stab people. Here is Repent America denounces the placement of a homosexual historic marker at Independence Hall. That's disgusting. Philadelphia, Repent America denounces today's secret ceremony held in the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia under the direction of the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission. According to the reports confirmed by the PHMC, the purpose of this closed ceremony was to unveil a homosexual historic marker, which will be officially placed within a few yards of Independence Hall. The marker was unveiled today by Barbara Franco, the executive director of PHMC, at 10 a.m. at the National Constitution Center. The homosexual marker's final location will be the corner of the Chestnut and 6th Streets, which is less than a stone's throw from Independence Hall. Yeah, it's disgusting, and that's what it says here. It's deeply disturbing that the Pennsylvania Historic and Museum Commission is unveiling a homosexual marker to honor those who celebrate and engage in sexually deviant behavior, stated Repent America's director, Michael Markovich. The advancement of homosexual agenda to the birthplace of America is aggressive and dangerous, and proven by the recent arrest of 16 homosexuals who were engaging in sex acts in the restroom of a Center City department store, he concluded. The stated purpose of the homosexual historic marker is to honor homosexual activists who publicly marched in the 60s at Independence Hall for the right to engage in sodomy. Yeah, it's repulsive. And, you know, this stuff is, should not surprise us. This is where America's at. This is what's on television. We had an opportunity to watch this thing last night called the CSI. We don't have a television. We have a DVD player. And it came, this crime scene investigation. You think it'd be interesting, intriguing. It was laden with all sorts of stuff about being involved with strip clubs and strippers and prostitutes, and it's okay to have group sex. It's okay to have, various partners here and there. I mean, the whole show was laced with this stuff, and it was coddled and are condoned in such a way where people walk away from that dumbed down or numbed to the idea that perversion is okay. It's not okay. It may be tempting to us to be perverted. And for a few of us, maybe to be homosexual perverts. But on the other hand, it's still tempting to have some sort of sexual deviance at times. It doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it a good idea to put that into your mind. And it doesn't make it right for us to promote television shows or movies that would bring this kind of disgrace upon the nation. That should be real clear to us from the Christian Worldview show. And so this whole thing should not surprise us in Philadelphia, even though it is quite disgusting. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Well,
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just reading through some of these stories that are coming up, like the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, supporting John Roberts. It's just appalling that Christians are so naive as to support people like this. Anyway, this is what's going on in some of the stuff today. We've been having a great show talking about economics and the whole theory of why prices and gasoline rise, as well as some other very important themes here. So if you've missed the show, you've missed a lot. Go to the tyrannyresponse.net website and take a look there at the link that allows you to look at today's show or listen to today's show. It'll be posted in about an hour after the show is over today. Listen to it, because there's important information there for you. It would also be rerun on the Tyranny Response Network throughout the day. Anyway, before we go on with more of this discussion, we want to take a quick look at the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 70 degrees. Downtown, 70 also. Anderson, 67. And Clemson, also 70. Today, partly cloudy this morning, then clearing. Highs in the lower 90s and northeast winds around 5 miles per hour.
Okay, well, we have the continuing the homosexual theme that we started right before the break at the bottom of the hour there. Phillies lose, Christians win. Philadelphia, yesterday, August 18th, 2005, this is a little bit old now, the Philadelphia Phillies held their third annual Gay Community Night at a Citizens Bank Park as Repent America declared the truth about homosexuality outside and inside the ballpark. This is the third consecutive year the Philadelphia Phillies have decided to promote homosexuality by hosting Gay Community Night at the ballpark, stated Repent America's director, Michael Markovich. As in previous years, we return to minister the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are in bondage to this self-destructive lifestyle and to call on the Phillies to end their promotion of homosexuality. Yeah, it's pretty appalling. Well, it's not no surprise. Once again, this is our culture. We are truly the outsiders who hold to the Christian worldview. We are not just a minority that's fledgling or that's going down slowly. We have been decimated, and even in the ranks of the church, there is widespread acceptance for homosexuality and wicked behavior, perversion, and so forth. Well, here's an email from Chuck, and he says the following. Hi, John. You concluded at one point in your show yesterday that government is not your friend. This is precisely the conclusion of Judge Andrew Napoliano of Fox News in his book Constitutional Chaos. Yes, we read excerpts of that book and actually a review of that book some time ago here on the show. Most of us think the state is benign, but generally it's the case of ignorance is bliss. Yes, the state is not benign. The state is malevolent. It's something malignant. It is something that is harmful. This is the history of states, folks. The idea that there are benign states is a myth propagated in public schools and various universities in order to propagate the whole system at which we have now, that the state existing as it is in its parasitic fashion is a good thing. That doesn't really actually harm anybody. It actually it either helps people or at worst is just something benign, a benign entity that doesn't affect us. No, the state not only conscripts you into its armies and kills you through its sanctioned abortion or aggressive warfare, the state also is responsible for confiscating property, as we see in the Kelo decision, and for confiscating your wealth through progressive income taxation or other kinds of tax schemes so that you become its slave. That's not benign, and that's America. In other countries, it's worse. It's worse than America still. And the state is anything but benign. The state is a malignant, cancerous, tumorous, malicious, sore, parasite on society, and should be opposed by us as Christians. The state also in Scripture is clearly something, at least clearly to me, that is satanic. According to Revelation 13, it receives its power from demons and Satan. And I was reminded yesterday, in fact, I've got an article here, we may read it shortly, that the even Satan himself believed that he was controlling the state, both in casting people into prison in Revelation chapter 2 through its henchmen, the state, but also when he offered to Christ all the kingdoms of the world. Now, he could have been lying and saying that he had, you know, the authority to do that, to give them all the kingdoms of the world, but I don't think so. The other scriptures indicate that Satan empowers kingdoms and states, and therefore I think Satan did have the ability to give it to Christ if Christ would have bowed down. Of course, Jesus did not. But states are anything but benign or benevolent. They are malignant, tumorous parasites that harm us. Anyway, continuing on with Chuck's comment here, since I interrupted there, his what he wrote. Did you hear what happened to Mel Fisher when he discovered the sunken treasure ship in Atocha? The state of Florida, which had refused him any protection from predators while he did the work since he was in international waters, declared the site to be in Florida waters after he found gold and confiscated much of it. Well, this is a real big surprise. I didn't heard about that. That's disgusting and horrible that the government would do such a thing. But I'm not surprised. Excuse me, the state would do such a thing. States do this sort of thing regularly, and if whatever pleases them or gives them benefits. Chuck says, finally, enjoying your show, Chuck. Well, appreciate that comment, Chuck. Thanks for writing in to Christian Worldview. Had a couple of good emails today. If you're interested in calling the show, give us a call at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also call our backup line, which is 864-201-6955. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And the Tyranny Response Network sent research staff sent up an article by Paul Craig Roberts, who I do like very much, America's Lost Hegemony, That means it's international reign or authority or influence, political influence. The historian who chronicles America's decline will lay blame on the free market ideology. I say this as a believer in the market. My books and scholarly articles demonstrate the superiority of market systems over government allocative schemes. The problem arises when market economics ceases to be thoughtful and becomes ideological or a dogma. A good example of the latter is a recent Heritage Foundation study that argues that global outsourcing is the best way to equip the U.S. military with the best technology and the least expense. The study brushes away concern the erosion of American manufacturing science engineering knowledge base by asserting that such concerns imply protectionism, and that protectionism means the death of innovation. Protectionism can be problematical for innovation, and the study is correct to point this out. Well, Roberts is simply slipping a little bit here. The Heritage study is probably quite right. There is no little exception on the market system works, but we need to have protectionism by the state, otherwise it won't work. No, he's making a mistake here. I usually do like Paul Craig Roberts, but in making that point, he is making a mistake. He says that there's one consequence for America is a loss of manufacturing capabilities and the increased availability abroad of unique technologies not found in the United States. So what? As my response, American university enrollments in science and engineering are declining because there are no jobs for graduates. It's pointless to invest money, sweat, and toil in education. There's no payoff. Markets do work. Markets are working to shrink the American demand for and supply of American engineers and scientists. Far from being able to innovate, the United States will be even lack the human resources to manage technical and scientific projects. The fact of the matter is, the executives force their American employees to train their foreign replacements and then fire their American workers. You know what? If that's happening, Paul Craig Roberts, it's because it is the most efficient mechanism in the market to accomplish something. But that will have a bottom. It will end at some point. Anybody who calls technical service outsourcing and gets somebody on the phone from India knows that it's very frustrating trying to speak to somebody who speaks another language for your technical support when you can't understand them when they're supposedly speaking English. There is an end to these sorts of things, and consumers will be, and the market will be able to resolve any problems as such. And the reallocation of resources is absolutely necessary. Government intervention is not helpful. So Paul Craig Roberts is making a mistake, a blunder, I think, at that point. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month. That's next week, at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's a cafe underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network, and we appreciate their support as well. Well, here's another article. The National Emergency, released Sunday, August 28th and thereafter. On August 12th, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson declared a state of emergency due to the chaotic situation involving illegal alien smuggling and illegal drug shipments on his southern border. 3 days later, Governor Janet Napolitano followed suit in Arizona. Reason the crisis on the border. The ally and free immigration policy of George Bush and Vicente Fox, beloved of corporate America, has created a hell of our southern border. Those southwestern states are being intruded by illegal aliens, trashing ranches, killing cattle, committing crimes, and eating up tax dollars. Now, this is where immigration takes on a whole different, illegal immigration takes on a very clear problem, at least to me, clear issue. We have the right, I believe, of self-defense, and part of that self-defense is using a collective form that is limited government to protect us, or to protect ourselves on the border with militias or anything else. If people are coming here destroying property and they are abusing other folks and denying people their rights to life, liberty, and property, then they should be opposed, no matter who they are, without any question. I don't despise the thief that comes over the border because he's hungry, but I'm certainly going to defend myself against him. I don't have to just let him ransack me. Anyway, the article continues, what are these Bush Republicans afraid of? Dirty looks from the help of the country club? the Republican Party claims to be a conservative party, but what kind of conservative is it who cuts a few costs or makes a few bucks who will turn his family's home or neighborhood into a flop house? Twice, George Bush has taken an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Article 4, Section 4 of that Constitution reads, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this Union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion." And it certainly, I don't know if you call it, I mean, invasion's is a big word to use here. It may not really be an invasion, but nevertheless, whether it's an invasion or not, when there's private property being destroyed and people's rights are being violated, then there is a call for limited government to go and do its constitutional duty and protect people on borders without any question about it. So, interesting article that things are becoming so chaotic down there, and of course government, the state doesn't care about this. You realize that, folks. I mean, the federal government could care less. They are far more interested in promoting their own power, promoting their own prestige, and if a few people's private property gets damaged, why should they care less? They're willing to steal the private property from you. I mean, come on. I mean, that's not really expect to get blood out of a turnip here, people. This doesn't take a lot of rocket science to figure out what's really going on behind the scenes. Well, we're going to have an interesting discussion to close off today. It's been a good show in general today, but we have some discussion from about Romans 13 again, and so we want to talk about that when we come back from the break. It's always interesting to bring up theological points on Christian Worldview because we're trying to be this program that helps you think better, think deeper, think differently than what you would think about if you were just listening to any other station out there. We are different in that respect, aren't we? And we are here providing that service to you on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're trying to hurl it with great force today, as in every day on A Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. And we have Greg on the line with us now. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning on Christian Worldview.
Yeah, well, good morning. I was listening to the show, and that article by Pat Buchanan, that article made big news on O'Reilly and a few other talk shows. because he called for the impeachment of President Bush.
Oh, I mean, I didn't read far enough down in the article, perhaps.
A little further down. I thought that might arouse some people's interest.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. Of course, we'd call for the impeachment of George W. Bush for a lot of other reasons, but that's a good one, too, because he's violated the Constitution and his willingness to defend the inhabitants. Great point. I wish I had read further in there.
Read on that article if you have the time. It just made a big splash, and then the splash seemed to have gone away because nobody seemed to pay attention to it. He was calling for some senator to or congressman to submit an impeachment bill. And like I say, it made a big splash.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate you bringing that up for us here. We agree, and it should make a big splash or a bigger one, but unfortunately it won't because the control the Republican Party seems to have about it, almost everything in Washington. But at any rate, appreciate the comment there, Greg.
All right. Well, let's hear what you were going to say for the rest of the program.
Yeah. Well, I have a topic here on Romans 13 we want to get to from someone who wrote in, and so I want to make sure I cover that before we get done. All right.
I'm all ears.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the call, Greg.
Yep. Bye.
Okay. Yes, and indeed, I received an email message from someone who had sent another interpretation of Romans chapter 13. And this is somebody called from Jesus Radicals, an essay. Now, I'll tell you, this essay called Deconstructing Romans 13, verses 1 through 2, by Nakisha Alexis Manners, that's an odd name, it's maybe less stirring than other things, I suppose, that you can find, but it is typical of how people try to deal with Romans 13. And Nakisha is currently a senior at New York University majoring in African studies. She is also a web designer. She and works part-time as a recreational program for the mentally disabled. So at any rate, she is not necessarily, I would say, a scholar. All right, so I wanted to tell you that right up front. But she's typical, I think, I guess typical's right. She's typical of people who would try to deal with Romans 13, which says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves." Well, she thinks that there's something wrong with the way it's obviously interpreted, and so she's tried to come up with her own particular way, and she makes a few blunders along the way. I thought I'd bring it up here at the end of the show just to remind us of how important these passages are and interpreting them is, how important it is to interpret them. She says this, introduction, obey the law of the land. When dealing with the question of obedience or disobedience to the state, this is the standard Christian response. The only time disobedience is allowed is when ruling government is in direct conflict with the Word of God. Otherwise, we are bound by Christians to a duty to do what the state says, despite a New Testament filled with disobedient principles and disobedient Messiah in Christ. Romans 13 is the only reason for this strong belief, although she should know about Titus 3:1 and 1 Peter 2:13. She actually does. She just makes a mistake when she writes this part, I think, by saying the only reason for the strong belief and in support of the state. Perhaps this faith is misplaced, however, due to an incorrect reading of the first verses of that chapter. She says that the words in chapter 12 that chapter ends with the words, "Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And she says, keep all this in mind as you read on. Like the scriptural context of chapter 12, the historical context is also very important. Paul is writing to the church at a time when Christ's people are being persecuted at the hands of the law. One can imagine how the climate of fear and anger and sense of retaliation must have been in people's minds. Well, I think I agree with that part of her comment. In Romans 12, Paul's words are a caution against the use of revolutionary violence towards the state. They are not to commit the same evil and inflict the same punishment that government uses against them. Rather, Christians are to bless them and do good in return. This is the vein in which Romans 13 begins. See, I think she's missing the boat entirely on that particular point. I think Paul is not trying to say that we should bless the state. It's basically telling us quite the opposite. This thing is huge. It's a big intruder. It's a big behemoth that will slam us, and we need to avoid it. We need to try to make sure that we don't stir it up to attack us. It's not talking about us doing good to the state as an entity, as we somehow want to bless the state. That I don't think is there. She says later on, she says, as we can see, to subject or to submit does not mean to obey. In fact, obey means to act in conformity with, and as I mentioned earlier, Romans 12, to be conformed with anything or anyone else besides God is sinful. As such, the first misreading of Romans 13 comes from a simple vocabulary mistake. Well, I'm not sure that's a vocabulary mistake. When the Bible says to be subject to the governing authorities, I think it means to obey them, although the verb tense for submit is the present passive, which means it doesn't we go out of our way to obey them. It means that if they catch us in something and they command us to do a certain thing that won't violate our conscience, and knowing that what the Word of God says, you know, they won't tell us to murder a child or whatever, then we obey it. I mean, that's the whole idea of submission. It implies an implied obedience. Where she's going wrong here is not understanding exactly what the words good and evil mean in the passage, as we've talked about several times. She goes on in her article to talk about popular assembly, and this being the use in the Old Testament of the Book of Judges, and that in fact what the kind of government we need to promote is more of a democracy, and blah blah blah, and. You know, I think she's getting off on the wrong path here. Once again, I'm going to read this passage again, inserting the names of the rulers of the age in which the people were living under, first century Rome. They would have been ruled by Nero at that time, and of course we know that many readers or many hearers would have also been ruled by people like Herod, local rulers like the vicious and wicked Herod. And so I like to read this passage inserting the name Nero and Herod instead of the word governing authorities or the pronoun to help drive home the point of how they must have read this passage. Let every soul be subject to Nero and Herod, for there is no authority except from God, and Nero and Herod exist and are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists Nero and Herod resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For Nero and Herod are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of Nero and Herod? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For Nero and Herod are God's ministers to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's. For Nero and Herod are God's ministers and avengers to execute wrath on him who practices evil. The point of the matter is that the apostles were not insane. The people were to understand that Nero and Herod do what they think is good, not what God thinks is good, and they reward people that they think are good, not who God thinks are good. The point is that we interpret this passage as submission in a passive sense, and that we don't expect the state to be doling out rewards to people that are really good, like Christians. Instead, they're going to kill them because the state thinks that Christians are evil. Have we not seen the fact that the state thinks that Christians are evil today in our very culture? Think about that, folks. We've come to the end of our show, and I appreciate the comments and calls today, and we look forward to another edition and having you of Christian Worldview and having you with us tomorrow. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network. For Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.